goats.
Talk about them girls and some baseball.
Talk about the girls.
March Madness.
Talk about March Madness in general.
Yeah. I think nobody's messing with the men. Who's talking about the men?
Yeah, the right. NC State might though.
They give them a game, right?
Yes, sir. What's good? What's good? What's good, y'all? You already know what time it is. It's Mo Sports TV, April 2nd. Holy smokes, the year is going by. You already know what time it is. It's your boy, C-Mo Sports. I'm here with the guy, Matt Chi, and Uncle Mike.
What's up?
You already know what time it is. We got a lot to talk about. There was a lot of March Madness going on.
Madness
first
in March.
And foremost. A lot of March Madness.
To put it simply.
And two, a lot of NBA. And there was some NFL stuff going on as well.
Of course.
What would we want to talk about first? Do we want to talk about March Madness first?
Yeah, let's talk March Madness. Let's
do we want to talk about men's or women's?
Because I was going to say women's is fresh.
Women is fresh night. Yesterday, last night.
Right.
It was going down.
The drama was there.
It was going down.
I mean, we got everything. And we just got to put it out there that, listen, a lot of people will have their speculations about women's basketball, but that was as exciting as any men's game, more exciting than a good majority of the men's games in this March Madness so far.
Both games.
What up, Deb? What up, I mean?
Yeah. It was good.
Yep. So let's talk about what are your guys' thoughts?
I want to talk about, first and foremost, I want to talk about Caitlin Clark. I want to give her some props. Yes. Because there was a lot of, you know, goat shit going on in that game. That is something that I've really never seen out of a female basketball player.
What up, Nick?
In a college setting.
Right.
In a tournament setting, ever.
That was Mamba.
Ever. I've never seen that. I've never seen that.
That was Mamba mentality-esque.
That was, what's up, Nick? What, she put a 41-12-7,
It was an incredible performance in all
on
around.
On a top team in the former champion. Reigning champions.
The defending champs.
Yeah, defending champs.
Who knocked them off.
You Angel
them
Reese was here. Talking that shit to
got
her
him,
last year.
Got
she
him
said,
crying
okay,
in the
bet.
Postgame.
You know, she had a chip on her shoulder.
Yeah.
Angel Reese, she got her championship.
Angel Reese did have a good game, though. She had 17.
She had 20 boards. She had a great game. Don't get me wrong. But that LSU team got too cocky and they got too confident from last year, and they didn't run it back with the same mentality, with the same attitude and grit and ambition as last year. And they became lazy and they became Hollywood. And that's why, and Caitlin Clark and them girls went back home and went to work right after they lost. Mm-hmm. They weren't out partying, doing TikToks, doing all this other extra shit. They was working. And that's why Caitlin Clark is where she's at right now.
Let me say one thing about that game. As good as that girl Caitlin Clark played, LSU had a real good, legitimate shot at winning the game. Because if you look at the stats, look at the stats. Reese had 13 points at halftime. She finished the game with 17 points.
Right.
2 of 12 shooting. She makes 3 or 4 shots, and she was terrible at the foul line. They win the game.
Yep.
So as good as she is, she laid an egg in the second half of that game. She got some boards. I'm going to give her that. But you can't shoot 2 of 12 coming off a 13-point half, then come out and lay an egg 2 of 12. Not in that setting. Not in the semifinal game. Now, if she makes maybe 3 baskets and a couple foul shots, what
it's
are we talking
game.
About? It's a ball game.
Yeah.
So, you know, Caitlin Clark, I'm giving her roses, her flowers. That girl played her ass off. God bless her. She did her thing. But if Angel Reese just – makes
stepped up.
2 baskets, you know, and a couple foul shots. 7 points they lost by.
Yeah. Nick, we're going to come back to this comment. We'll definitely discuss
Embiid's
this.
Back tonight?
Embiid is back tonight.
Okay. Let's keep talking about NCAA.
Caitlin Clark really took over. She had HVL in a torture chamber out there. Yeah. Nah. And she had her hit
in
Van
shrug, Lith? Yeah, she had Van Lith in a blender.
She
had her in a blender. And people don't really talk about how good Caitlin Clark's handle is.
You've been in a car accident.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, Caitlin Clark was going crazy. 50%, nearly 50% from 3. 9 of 20 is just madness. It's March Madness.
It's literally crazy. And honestly, man, I don't think I've ever seen a performance like that from Caitlin Clark. I'm sorry.
That was a great
I got to keep saying it, but that That blew my mind yesterday.
Was that the greatest performance at the collegiate level in women's basketball history?
I think so.
I've seen some great ones, man. Seen Diana, those UConn teams had some bad chicks.
Right. I'm talking Maya about Moore. Single perform. Yeah, Maya Moore.
Didn't they dominate though? Like they dominated everybody. Though? This was a great
because
game.
They didn't because they had other players on their team. They didn't have to shoot the ball majority of the time. Don't get me wrong, the girl can play, but Tarasa and them had teammates. They didn't. They weren't called upon to shoot the ball.
Well, here's where I agree with you, Unc. I think those UConn teams obliterate that Iowa team no matter what.
Yeah.
Sure. I can agree to you with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the best team. I'm talking about the best single player performance.
That performance is
I haven't seen nothing
right there.
Like that.
Right there. Yeah, but there have been other players who are capable of playing with other studs. So they had basketball. Roster, like I would imagine, Tarasi and Maya Moore, if they were called upon in the same situation, they would put up similar numbers.
Mm. Right.
You know, I'm not sure to that extent because, but Tarasi can go to the basket, is just as good as anybody. So it's better than some men. You know what I'm saying? And Maya Moore was just a beast within herself. So I'm not taking nothing from Caitlin Clark. What she did last night is right up there. That was one of the greatest sports accomplishments for anybody, man or woman, and she give her flowers. She did her thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
She did, but and all that, like I said, they could have easily lost that game if one superstar. No one's saying this. No one's paying attention to it. You had 13 points at the half. You cannot come out and only get four points in the second half. You can't.
Nope.
That's laying egg. You had 20 rebounds. God bless. That's because you're bigger than everybody. But you got to do some putbacks. You got to get more than 4 points.
Find a way. Get to the line and make
if she comes out and scores 10 points in the second half, they win the game.
They win.
And she missed a boatload of foul shots going down the stretch. Mm. So, Caitlin Clark and Iowa, hey, God bless them. They won. It's called survive in advance. And they did just
and,
that.
With that being said, they pay Paige Buechers and that UConn team on Friday, correct?
Yeah.
In the Final Four?
Yeah.
That's going to be a great
no
game.
Cake. That's
Can
no
we talk
cake.
About that yes. That USC versus yes. UConn game as well? Because yes. That was a pretty decent game, too.
Real good game.
Juju Walker.
It's going to be.
I think she's an absolute bucket, but I also think she's a jack. And what she shoots the ball.
She takes crazy shots.
She takes wild shots.
But one thing
But they be going in.
Yes.
They be going in.
One thing
a tough shot maker. That's what it is.
One thing I
but
like
it didn't
about
work
her,
out last night.
One thing I like about her, she will step back and let her teammates do their thing.
Right.
There's times she does just shy away and let them do their thing. And what they have to, she knows, she got to know when to turn it on and turn it off. There are times where they need her to go get buckets, take over a game, a la Caitlin Clark. But she's too busy deferring. Sometimes you just got to be stingy and selfish.
9 for 25 can't happen. That's really what it comes down to.
And that was the problem at the end of the day.
Yep.
25 shots in a college game is a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Period. Especially in a woman's, with the shortened time.
Yeah, and you're not
25 shots is nuts.
Yeah, your outside shot isn't as good as some of the other players. You're not 25 shots. If you go to the basket on a couple of them, she has no problem getting to the basket. You don't have to be on ESPN hitting that jumper.
That jumper is deadly, though. I will give it a shot. She'll pull up from
25, though.
But, she's inconsistent still as a freshman.
Yeah, man. Yeah. God,
that's the only thing. That's really
she'll
why.
She'll develop that.
If she develops and she continues on her game and her journey,
she'll learn when that
she's
gonna
be
going
to be elite by the end of her junior year.
Who's going to have a bigger impact on USC basketball, her or Bronny James?
Come on, man.
Her.
Why would you stop, man? That's just them setting up LeBron to talk bad about him. Stop.
Look Bronny,
that's a clip right there. Stop. That's what that
Bronny,
is.
Stop, man.
Bronny's a freshman, though, too.
So is she.
I know.
Exactly why I said it.
Bronny's dad put a bullseye on his back. You ain't ready, man.
Bronny is fresh off of a heart attack, first and foremost.
God bless him.
Let's not forget that because he was on probably a minute restriction in general throughout the whole year. Even though he was I feel like he's just as talented as the starters on USC. But with that heart condition, you can't really get those minutes yet, especially that fresh off.
Sometimes you got to just cash in the chips. But if your heart is at play, leave it alone. Hank Gathers, you guys are too young for that. Guy had a heart problem and dropped dead on the court. So if you got anything going on with your heart, you got more. I know you love the game. You got more money than you will ever spend. leave it alone, bro.
I think that's the real reason behind, you know, him only having 5 points a game average this year.
Yeah, I would, sure. I would
and
agree.
And that 5 points, he didn't show nothing. He's not like he. You look at him and be like, damn, once they take him off the restriction, he's going to be a beast. You're not saying that with him. You're not saying that with him.
He play. He's like a good all around.
Bryce
player.
Is
like,
gonna be the best.
Bryce is the
prodigy.
Right. He's the number one. He's the number one prospect out of that family.
The number one James family prospect,
yeah, for sure, 100%.
Number two on the James family depth chart.
But now, what would he be if his last name wasn't James?
Bryce, he's honestly, Bryce would be nasty. Up there. He would be up there still. He'd be up there in the top recruits of the country for his grade.
I agree. But all right, you want to talk some men's?
Let's talk men's because no, there's
let's preview that US that UConn and
UConn and Iowa game.
Yeah.
UConn Iowa.
Yeah, right. I think
so. Okay. So Paige is, first of all, Paige has a chip on her shoulder too.
Yeah.
Right.
Coming off Paige, that ACL.
Paige is coming off of a right. She's coming off of an injury. And she was the number one recruit coming out of that class in 2020 with Caitlin Clark and them and Angel Reese, right?
Yeah.
And but she got hurt, and she was the number one. When she was a sophomore, she was killing them.
Yeah.
Right? She was top of the top, and then she got hurt, and now she got forgotten because Caitlin Clark had a hell of a year that year, and Angel Reese had a hell of a year.
Right.
Now she has a chip on her shoulder. I don't know. This is good. Hey, UConn could win this game.
What I like about her, she's not solely an outside shooter. She has no, her mid-range game is pretty nice, and she gets to the basket. She'll hit that three. She's hit a couple of them, but she doesn't live at that three-point line. She plays good mid-range basketball. And that, what's the what's the center name? The girl with the hair, the color, different color hair.
Right? Oh, Mo. On UConn?
No, the black girl with the yellow stripes in her hair.
I forget. Rays
or something like that.
She was tough last night too, though.
Yeah, she gave him like 20 something points, and I think she's going to be a problem. I think she's going to be a problem because she is active.
Yeah.
You know, Reese. I saw Reese a couple of times get the ball and try to put it on the floor. And them chicks were just stripping her clean.
Right.
This chick on
She's
UConn.
Put it right back up.
The girl on UConn. What's her name? Here she is. Yeah. Edwards. Aaliyah Edwards. That's her name. The one who had them gold stripes in her hair.
Yeah.
Now, she's very active. She's 6'3" and she's active. She has a little game, little handle. It's like, because Reese is slow, like big, and boom, boom. They just kept stripping. This girl has some pep in her step.
It's just turnovers. I think that's her issue was turnovers. Four turnovers in that game against USC. Mm-hmm. You probably can't afford that in a situation.
Well,
like
four ain't with. Bad. From a, that ain't too bad.
It was the most on the team. So, like, you know, they had a bunch. They had 4, 8, 12... 14, 15 within the starting lineup. I mean, you cut down the turnovers. It's probably a lot more than the 7-point game.
And the foul shooting down the stretch was horrendous.
Right.
And they're going to need the other people besides Bukers and Edwards. The other girls are going to have to give them at least 4 more points.
Even though they only won by 7, Iowa outplayed them, though. Let's not act like Iowa, you know, LSU was, you know, playing better than Iowa.
No,
it wasn't just Caitlin Clark.
The other girls stepped up, yeah.
Them girls was actually balling.
Yeah.
All the other their supporting cast was making their shots.
Yeah, they did.
And playing defense and hustling. Like they had all of them had chips on their shoulders, yo. Like
yeah, the girl Martin had 21 form. Yeah. And but, you know, Martin did her thing. Then a Falter, the guard, that's a Falter. She had 16.
Right.
So you need that from the other
that's 36 points. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like
the fact that they only go with a 7-man rotation is just that's so crazy to me.
That's what they need to do. Only play 6 people.
Right. I don't care if you got 3 minutes. Your 3 minutes don't count. I'm sorry.
And I think if
UConn, the game is a lot less people, minutes.
Other people on UConn's gonna have to give them at least 4 more points on their totals. Because whatever her name is, Reese and Bukers are gonna go off. I think the other girls are gonna have to go up.
Yes. Right.
The other girls have to give them. They're gonna need another double digit chick out there for
them. But to really keep it real and to change the topic on girls one more time. Ain't none of these motherfuckers fucking with South Carolina, though.
I don't know about that, bro. Iowa beat them last year.
I was tough.
I don't know, man.
Iowa South beat them last year, bro.
Iowa.
And then LSU only lost to them twice by 7.
Yeah, so, that LSU South Carolina game was close. That's how I know. Honestly, I think it's going to be South Carolina Iowa. Really, truthfully, in the final, and it's going to be a good game.
Upset. I'm
and honestly,
upset
I would put money on
South Carolina.
On for the value, I would put it on Iowa because you know they're going to be
dogs.
Dogs.
Yeah, in that scenario, South Carolina is just ripping everybody on the spreads so far in this tournament. I mean, they're just right now, like North Carolina State is a good team, and they're just 11.5-point favorites. Like, it's just crazy. It shows you. I mean, they were favorites even going back to the regular season. They were the favorites when they played UConn. So it's like this team is loaded, right? It's
they've
like
been number one wire to wire. These girls.
Yeah.
Look, them girls is.
And I think they're going to have a. I think they're going to have a chip.
They don't have
I
a
think
weak
they're going to have a serious chip on their shoulders because after losing last year to Iowa, just like Iowa came back with vengeance against LSU, These girls are looking at them like, now you got them, but we remember what you did to us.
Right.
So I think Dawn Stead is going to have them girls doing their thing.
Iowa has a tough road. They have a tough road between UConn and South Carolina.
Yeah, I think UConn's going to
upset. That's a tough road to championship.
I think Kayla if Clark. Anybody
so
else.
If she pulls this off, it will be the best female basketball performance I've ever seen from a female in college sports, of course.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree.
Period. And there won't be any debate about it. Because that's an undefeated team that she would beat in the championship.
Yeah, no, it's a loaded squad.
That's some giant shit against the Patriots.
That's Brady.
Yeah, I had to throw that in. He always finds a way.
I always find a way. I do.
Justin Tucker ass nigga.
All right, let's talk men's.
Let's talk men's.
We got this.
I don't think nobody's touching UConn.
This upcoming Saturday, I mean, probably not. But listen, that NC State team is fun to watch.
Yeah,
they're playing Purdue. Obviously, they're coming off of a high after beating Duke. What do we think? Is there a shot that they could take out Zach Edey? And
Burns versus Edey is just going to be a
that big boy. What's the big
watch.
Boy from NC State?
Burns.
Yes.
Burns versus Edey is going to be
crazy. He can pull him out of the paint.
I mean,
he has a little jumper.
It's just no coincidence here that when Burns is on a run like this, Ed is missing from the episode. It's just, listen, it goes hand in hand. I'm glad he's out there at least doing something when he's not on the podcast here with us.
Get that cheddar, brother Ed. Yeah. Nephew, get yours.
But, ducking right.
Especially, seeing Zach Edey and all those guys, like, obviously this is the first the Boilermakers have made it this far since I think they said 47 years. But I want to see NC State take this game. I'm always rooting for the dog. I've gone for NC State. I posted the clip today since they were playing Marquette. I've been pulling for them. So I always like the underdog
can't cheer
story.
For them. I'm a Carolina guy. I just can't
I get
do
it.
I'm a UNC guy, but I like what NC State.
Yeah,
doing
I do too.
Right now. I can't even lie. Like them boys.
I can cheer from the beat them.
Honestly, they won me mad money. I put NC State money line against Duke and they were +250. So that was great.
Right.
So,
they say the first three rounds you roll with the
they're on my good side.
Oshani's interpreter help you up, bro.
They got me right. I can't lie. But what's it called? UConn's still the favorite.
Yes.
Let's not get it fucked up here. But NC State, bro, if there's gonna be a team that's fucking
on a magical run.
They're exactly. on the run. Yeah. That's the team that you gotta like watch.
You gotta look out for. They got nothing to lose.
You gotta look out for them boys every time because those be the dangerous ones. They are hot right now.
They had to beat NC State and Carolina to get in.
Right.
In the ACC championship.
They dominated
did.
UNC.
And
in
they
that,
did.
In
and
that
they had
ACC.
To beat them by double digits.
I'm a UNC fan. And I'm telling you, I watched that game and I was like, these boys are gonna be trouble.
Yeah. Because Big Boy outplayed Baycock. He made him look terrible, bro. Mm-hmm.
I want to see DJ Burns versus Donovan Clingan. That's the center from UConn. I think that would be a battle. I think that would be really sick and be a really physical game. I'm excited to see, obviously, Burns versus Edey this coming Saturday.
That's going to be crazy, too.
Because he can pull Big Boy from Purdue. He can pull him out. North Carolina, the state guy can pull him away from the basket because
right.
he has a nice little mid-range jumper.
You
that left-handed Edey, mid-range.
Right. You make Edey work.
Bring him
be
away.
Tired.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't see Edey as this, like, he's projected second round, like early second round in the NBA draft. I don't see him as this like great prospect. So I'm like, he could get ripped apart. He could get ripped apart.
Get exposed. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't look like, he's not a Chet Holmgren. Let's just say that. Like, there's a reason he's going in the second round. He's not that same type of guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I could see him just giving you a side of guac with your Chipotle burrito in a few years.
Wow, you put him there,
this
buddy.
This is a sick Negro.
He can't even go overseas and play, Matt.
I don't know.
Matt just
he
don't
might
get,
be able. He might
Matt's
be
terrible with him. It's like, whoa. What you say about me and Ryan here, Matt? Yeah. Damn. Fuck Uncle Mike.
What did you say, Matt?
What?
Can you say that again?
What? That Zach Edey's going to be handing you some guac with your Chipotle order in the next few years? Okay. I just don't see him as being this. See,
but you know what
NBA
he has
prospect.
That like, he has size.
That's it. And that seems
that'll
like
get
it,
him.
Though.
He could be a career backup and just get 12, 14 years out of his size, though. And that's
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
But he's not that athletic. Mm-mm. He doesn't really have a great like touch around the rim mm-hmm. for a big guy. He's got somewhat soft hands, but aside from that, I mean, he's really that's it. As
need
far
to work
as
on his how's his jumper.
Yeah, I mean, he's good around. Yeah, he'll get multiple chances in the NBA.
Get in touch with Dirk Nowitzki and learn some stuff.
So actually,
I haven't watched enough ED.
He's projected actually in the second round to go to either 31. It's between 31 and 33. It's the Spurs and Trailblazers that own the picks over there. Mm. And it's like, if the Spurs get him, he'll be an all-star. But I'm like, if the Trailblazers get him, it's not happening. But if
and
he's
then
got
Wemby,
pop,
yeah,
that would be kind of
yeah. You
crazy.
Stick, yes,
that's that a huge, be, yeah, that's a huge 4 or 5. Oh my
god, the brand new Twin Towers out there. Remind you, Akeem and Samson back in the day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now them crazy. Boys would be that would be crazy.
Or Big Fundamental and the Admiral. That was a good one.
Oh right, Tim Duncan, David Robinson.
That was
for sure.
They were nice together. Sean Elliott, that was a nice squad.
So are we just going to count out Bama entirely in this situation? I know they're playing.
I think so.
But it's like they're pretty cooked.
Yeah, they're cooked. The slipper's so. About to turn back to a clog.
But yeah. they have an impressive run, too. God and shout out to Alabama because now they've never
gotten this far, right?
They're really, you know, they're up there with the football program now. They're getting up there with them.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Like they're actually trying. They're to compete, relevant. Yeah. They're here. You know what I'm saying? Like, Alabama was never known for basketball.
Yeah.
Until Avery Johnson started coaching there. Mm-hmm. The old coach from the Nets.
Yeah, he's Bama doesn't stand a chance. Nah, Avery Johnson was a good coach.
He was a good ball player.
He's probably one of the better coaches the Nets have had in the past, like, decade.
Yeah.
Because he actually is a coach. Like, Steve Nash was just a ploy.
I think that put a little spark plug in the Alabama basketball program, and right. Here they are. You know,
yeah, but they have the next year. You know, no matter what happens this year, they got to go out next year and be good, be a threat. It just can't be a one and done. You know, look what we did last year. No, come back and try to build on what you have. So they can compete with the football team.
They're able to recruit like better guys now, though. Definitely, like they have a culture over there. Mm-hmm. I feel like Colin Sexton really helped that when he was at Alabama, when they played that. You remember the game that they played? It was 3-on-5 or 4-on-5. They played without an entire bench and like 2 starters. One of them got ejected, and Colin Sexton was like, "Nah, you know him and coach. They said they could forfeit the game, or you could play the rest of this with just 4 guys on the roster."
Yeah,
and that was awesome. They tried. They lost, but they tried. It was entertaining.
You can't fight. You can't fault them. Guys go out there and show that much determination, knowing that the odds are against them. They go out and try it anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those kind of guys I want around me.
Embiid's back if I'm late.
All right, can we talk about fucking NBA?
Let's talk some NBA because, like my man Nick said earlier, the Sixers are back. Apparently, according to our guy Sean Bernard, because Embiid returns to the lineup tonight. I can't even lie, bro. I can't believe that Embiid is back before Julius Randle.
Well,
that shit hurts
can.
My heart.
I can because the 76ers are notorious for bringing back Embiid right before playoff time if he's ready or not and just saying, fuck it, your knees are cooked. We're just gonna run you into the ground, and they talk. And Sixers fans love to talk shit about Tom Thibodeau and how the Knicks are getting ran into the ground and all their starters are hurt. Y'all actually bring them back while they're still not ready,
rehabbing. Yeah,
guess I promise you. And I don't wish this on Embiid. I pray that it doesn't happen, but he's gonna get hurt in the playoffs. He's gonna get hurt.
I don't doubt
he gets hurt every year in the playoffs. Every single year. He gets cooked by the second round. He's done.
He's going to trip over his tampon string, hurt his little poo-poo, and be out.
I mean, the thing about Joel Embiid is that, like, he is the heart and soul of that team. So if he does go out and get hurt again, you're going to see the wind in their sails definitely.
Yeah, they may have to bust that thing up, man. Because how many times can you just get there and not get over the hump?
Tyrese Maxey is going to have to take a lot of the workload, but you know that Joel Embiid is just not going to allow that to happen in a sense.
Don't
like
pass
somebody that he has too much pride to, you know, just sit back and not have a handle on things. So I think the Sixers, they have a lot of potential. I mean, Kelly Oubre stepped up so far this season, but you still have Tobias Harris. Your bench is really not that strong by any means. So I just, you know, Tobias is the X factor. No. He sucks.
Like, he stinks. But here's the thing with the Sixers. Like, they could get a lot of money off the books this offseason.
Right.
With Tobias Harris' contract being up, I believe.
I think
right?
He's an expiring, yeah.
Yeah, he's an expiring contract. And they are the favorites to land Paul George.
No, the Knicks are. Aside from the Clippers re-signing him, the Knicks were second favorites because Leonard, put it in the group. It's like, oh, here we go again.
I thought, no, the Sixers are plus 245, 275, and the Knicks are plus 900.
What sports book?
I don't know.
Tobias does his job. They're tough. Yeah, that's the thing, but he doesn't. He's always he's been disappointing the entire season. If he can do his job or even just slightly exceed that, but the issue with Tobias Harris isn't even necessarily all his skill. Even when he's not making shots, he doesn't show effort. Like in a game against the Knicks, I watched obviously the entire thing, and there were just multiple times where Tobias Harris gave me flashes of that old Julius Randle, where he would just not hustle for a rebound, not close out on the shooter in time. And it was just really like, if you're not going to do your job, you have to at least be a gritty, grinded out type of guy. And that he was neither.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. You guys know this better than me. You saying they are the leading candidate to get Paul George. How many years he got in, George?
I don't know.
He's got about 15 in, right?
That's a good question. I don't know how long.
I can't see myself giving
Paul George
a max contract.
He has about 10.
He's got way more than 10.
I think he has 10.
He's got he had a bunch of them in Indiana.
This one this is as of, this is last year, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not counting anybody in the Paul George sweepstakes because I think they could easily just re-sign him and extend him, depending on what they do, especially this
Do you want to give that kind of money to somebody
injury prone
with that much wear and tear on his body in those that many years?
Yeah, Paul George is at 14 years.
That's a lot of money.
Gets a max deal, though. I don't think he gets a max deal. But even still, though, he still got years in him. I'm telling you right now, Paul George, he's been balling for a couple of years now with the Clippers. He's been consistent too with the Clippers. Like, he really hasn't gotten hurt like that from what I remember.
But as a team, he ain't leading them to the promised land. They can't do nothing. Of that, anybody can put up numbers, but are you leading your team to that chip?
So that's why Paul George needs to go to the place where he would be a starter immediately, and he'll be contending for a championship, and he won't even be the first or the second option. And that's the New York Knicks.
Yeah, where you could just play some defense. Well, the thing is, pay Paul George, even if it's at a little bit less of a pay, or pay OG Anunoby the $40 million that he's apparently expecting per year this offseason?
Yeah, and that's what it's really going to come down to for the Knicks. Are we going to run back OG even after the injury problems? But here's the thing with OG is that we win when he plays.
When he's on the floor.
For what, 15 and 2?
Yeah.
Is he better than Paul George?
Defensively, yes.
Defensively,
definitely,
yeah.
100%. But Offensively, no.
But we don't need offense like
but
that.
But we don't, right.
He's a great third option. I wouldn't mind having him as a third option if that's what you guys are saying.
Well, OG's incredible.
It's either Paul George or OG. That's the three spot. Like,
That OG loves being in New York, and I think he wants to be here. It's just, man, this stuff is getting really concerning with both Randall right now.
Or, Matt, before we get into that, because that's a good point, Brunson, George, OG, Randall, Robinson,
DiVincenzo six man.
Can you? I don't. Can you fit that? I don't know if you could. You have the cap space to re-sign OG and get Paul George.
Paul George have to take.
Right. They both gonna have to take re-sign a little Hartenstein.
Hartenstein's gonna take gonna a little less.
He's gonna want a nice pay. Now OG's gonna want 40.
One thing we do have to talk about. If you're still here, Deuce McBride just re-signed this past winter. 4 years, $12 million. Talk about a steal. Steal of a deal by Leon Rose. The guy's been playing full games as of late. I mean, he's been incredible for the Knicks. Very huge in this run with no OG, no Randall. It's really, like I said
before. I'm so proud of Deuce McBride.
I'm very proud of him, but I'm also very scared for the fact that Julius Randle, well, it was supposed to be, there was optimism in January that he would be back before the season ended, and now we're 15 days away, and he's not even in contact drills.
I'm starting to get nervous, Matt.
What exactly is his injury?
Dislocated shoulder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shooting shoulder, huh?
I mean, can you give me his statistics over the past month since being inserted into the starting lineup? Now let's talk. Then let's talk. Because he's shooting 46% from three. It's been awesome, and it's been huge help.
He's using the full season stats when McBride didn't play.
And he was playing Westchester games in the beginning.
He wasn't even playing the first Brunson until after the All-Star break.
It's okay.
What are we talking about?
But not.
Yeah, it's 8 points per game. Because you know how many zeros he has up on the board that's averaged into that 8 points a game right now?
Julius Randle not being cleared for contact is definitely concerning. What I'm hearing is that there is concern that once he starts taking it, like he could take practice contact, but they think that when he gets into the game, there could be more injury to the shoulder if there's big time contact.
Especially if he's not all the way healed up.
Man, it's rough. And then you have OG Anunoby, who comes back after missing 15 games, plays three, and re-hurts that same elbow. Now, what he had was a bone spur, which gets removed, and then there's no more, you know, injury there. But now there's still inflammation within that elbow, and they're just
probably brought him back too soon.
Man,
relegate those minutes to those guys instead of pushing. Let them build up that stamina, and let them arm them injuries get right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on because Leon and crew are very tight lipped.
They are.
They're not going to say a fucking word about their health, about their real health until playoff time.
Randle could come out of the tunnel like Batman, you know, with a game left in the season. And they're like, all right, he's ready. You know, because even Mitchell Robinson, think about when Mitch came back this past week.
They were like,
oh, all of a sudden that morning it was Mitch is questionable for tonight. And then it's like Mitch has been elevated to play that night.
That
it's like
nobody knew when he was coming back. And all of a sudden that day he was back.
He was in the lineup.
And that's what I expect, honestly, from the Knicks. That's what I'm praying on that they're doing. This is the first time we've seen this from the Knicks brass.
Right.
So it's an interesting complex type of thing right now. I'm expecting like three games out. Hopefully, I pray or game one of the playoffs.
Julius Randle walks out.
They just walk out and they're ready to play.
Does it Willis
and OG? Honestly, but really, truly, Matt. I just need one of them to come.
One of them. Yeah.
I just need one of them to come.
We could get out of the first round with one of them. And then
we could get out of the second round with one of them as well. If it's OG.
If it's OG that comes back.
Let me get back to Philly a second. I heard on one of the outlets they said the Sixers are definitely going to the finals. The Eastern Finals if Embiid is back healthy.
No, they're not.
That's what one of the houses.
They're not making it out of the second round because Embiid's going to get hurt. And even if he isn't hurt, he's still going to lose.
I'm seeing a lot of also now Heat.
The Knicks are busting the Sixers' ass with Embiid.
Yeah.
In the second round. I pray. I want to see the Sixers' second round. We will fuck them up with OG. I think OG comes back. Personally, I think OG comes back. And I think Randle comes back. I don't give a fuck. But even with one of them, I don't give a fuck. Even with one of them, Matt, we win. We still beat the Sixers.
I'm very confident. I just need Jalen Brunson to literally not get murdered in these next like 2 weeks.
Especially tonight. Because Bam Adebayo is already talking some rah-rah shit.
He's already
saying
this is already on demon.
He's already saying it's gonna get physical tonight.
They're gonna run him through a screen.
Like, we're already down. He's trying to put the Knicks out. He's going to try and put the Knicks out tonight. But that's He's going to try and get Jalen Brunson hurt tonight. That's what I'm telling you right now.
The game is about to start, and I'm just saying, if you tune in, look out. Just watch Bam Adebayo on his
moving screens.
He sticks a knee out, tries to – even if it's a little sacrifice of – because he always wears knee sleeves. So his knees are padded. But what he's going to do is he's going to make sure that you bang knees positively.
He does chicken legs, though.
Yeah.
He wants you to bang
through,
knees.
They're going
to
run into some picks,
he has a steel knee. Shoulder,
they're going to run into some picks.
Yeah, it's going to get physical tonight. I'm just praying nobody gets hurt. No Dante getting hurt. No Deuce getting hurt. No Iheart getting hurt. No Mitchell Robinson getting re-hurt. None of that. I don't want none of Oh, my gosh. But look. Mitchell Robinson back. That was a big deal, too. I don't give a fuck what anybody got.
Oh, no, man, because he's on a minutes restriction and didn't get his full time and he couldn't put up the stats. He's apparently not a presence because Jalen Williams put up 33
And here's the whole thing, though. Like, Knicks haters, we were down two of our guys, our starting lineup guys, two of our main players on the team, and we almost beat the number one seed in the West.
All right.
Came very close to being the number one seed in the West.
You know what's really funny,
like, get
too,
the fuck out of here.
Is that they were both...
And we're still getting criticized. Like, it's so weird.
I know SGA was out the game before the Knicks. I'm not sure about Jalen Williams. But now, tonight, neither of them are playing. So it's just hysterical
We banged them up.
Well, and it's also funny how all these guys will all of a sudden... They're healthy and they're, like, ready to go versus the Knicks. Like, they want to give their all when they're playing New York and they're playing at MSG. It's always funny and you know you're going to get...
And mind you, fucking, they won the game on a buzzer beater, damn near.
It was a great shot.
Just shot a great shot out of the inbound with 3 seconds left. Before that, Brunson should have had an and one.
I can't believe that.
And they didn't call the and one because it would have went into overtime. It would have went into overtime if they would have made the and one call.
Right.
And didn't they review it too?
No, they didn't review it, but the 2-minute report said that it also was not a foul, which I can't believe.
It is disgusting. I'm disgusted.
And then we also had the Mitchell Robinson jump ball violation, which was just like, I've never seen that in my life. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But the cylinder violation, I believe, was the game before as well. But they said the ball was above the cylinder.
The only way the Knicks lose nowadays is because of the refs. The refs really had the dicky.
But there's been a lot lately.
Some questionable.
Every
calls,
time bro. We lost, bro, it's some fuck shit.
Well, it's
bro.
Just there's those two losses this past week, which stink. And then there's also that
Toronto
Houston,
game?
The Houston
or that
game,
Houston game?
With the foul that was on Brunson.
On the Brunson on the three?
Right.
Like, come on,
and that's just three games that leave a bad taste in your mouth when the East is that close, you know, coming down to the end.
Right.
Of the season.
Damn.
Can I ask you guys a question? Go off topic a little bit. Whatever happened to it? What was the guy, the basketball player, the player with the betting? Remember he kept the stats you were talking about?
What's his face?
It's an investigation.
Still an investigation. Yeah, they haven't made no real moves on him yet. So, I mean, have they even suspended him? Has the team suspended him? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's no further, like, he's just under investigation. I don't think he could play. Because it's also a legal thing, I'm pretty sure. So I don't know.
What about the baseball guy?
Ohtani's out here playing games, and he's doing his thing.
That's something's not right.
Yeah, it's
something's not right.
It's Porter. Crazy.
Jonte Porter.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. Ohtani's playing. He should be suspended while they're doing their investigation because something is just.
That's weird.
I understand. He's a big time. He's a star, superstar, and all this that. But come on, man.
Nah, you want to talk? You want to talk a little baseball?
Man, we can talk baseball.
Talk about my Yankees.
We could definitely talk about the Yankees.
The Yankees are looking good.
It was more just like, does Corey want to bring up a soft subject? Because like
it's a soft subject.
It's tough out here for Mets fans, man.
The Mets stink. I'm fully okay with this reality,
but it's like, where can the Mets go from here? Because I like,
there's nowhere we can go.
That's the frustrating part. Is that
we're fucked into the offseason. We're done. We're gonna tank. We're gonna get a top draft, and we're gonna build our farm system. That's what he wants.
Go back to Shea Stadium.
They're gonna try and get
We're going to be back, though.
They're going to try and make a full push. That's my belief. For
well, that's what a lot of Yankees fans are saying because they're insecure about Juan Soto leaving. So, I think
the Yankees will re-sign him before the season ends. But I think
that's what you better do. But at the end of the day, I think the Yankees and the Mets have a fucking truce because the Mets could have easily went after Judge and Soto this offseason. They did. And we didn't. We literally didn't.
We went after Judge.
No, we didn't. We didn't go after shit.
A couple years ago, you went after when he was a free agent. You guys were trying to get at him.
Yeah, well, not this year. We didn't go after anybody.
He's
we
locked
got
in.
Fucking
you can't
Harrison
get
Bader, and we got rid of all of our pitching. We literally traded our. We started fire selling the team away last year.
Yeah, right.
We're in rebuild mode.
Serious rebuild. Yeah, okay.
We're in serious rebuild.
So I'm not going to ride you.
We're going to build it from the ground up, then you already know who we have. We have Mr. Cohen. When it's time to spend, we're back. Just don't get it fucked up.
You did that 2 years ago. Up. You spent it, spent it, spent it. Where you at? Where you at? You did nothing.
He spent. He got Lindor.
He spent.
But what what was the end game off the spending? What'd you get? Yeah. How far'd you go?
We didn't get far.
All right then. So
that's why we have to get a foundation. That's why we're some good players.
You're spending on nobody's.
That's why we're rebuilding, bro. Like, what do you mean? He will spend.
What's the end game off the spending? He just spent some money.
He will spend when it's time.
He just spent some money.
You're talking about you're yelling like you guys ain't the number one spenders in the history of baseball.
Yeah, but we're always relevant. Come on, bro. We're relevant. We're always in the title chase, bro. We may not win the chip, but we're always in the title chase.
We're going to spend, too, when it's time. Just like the Dodgers spend, just like all these other great teams spend.
Nah, you can't say the Dodgers. When the Dodgers are out here,
they stuck up Fort Knox, bro.
And they're also the favorite. Like, the Mets have spent, and it hasn't gotten them places because they're just spending to spend. It's like Lindor was a good signing, but where else are we going to go?
Why didn't we spend this year? Because we were spending to spend.
Yeah, you didn't replace none of the people you dumped.
Yeah. I'm agreeing with y'all. Y'all trying to argue with agreement.
I'm saying
they spent to spend, so we're not spending this year. We're building a foundation for when it's time to spend, we can spend right.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever floats your boat. Whatever eases your pain. I get it. I love you.
That's what the Mets are doing. We punted this offseason. We're going to be ass.
It sounds good,
and that's
man.
It.
Yeah. All right, man.
We're going to be ass. Yeah. We're ass this year. We're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. I don't care.
Yet again.
Did the Mets lose 100 games this season?
Maybe. I think that we hurts. Went, what, 52 games? Yeah. I said the Mets went 52 games this year.
No, well,
the Mets
on the bright side, you got a rain delay.
They'll be a 500 team.
No, we won't.
I don't know.
I'm trying to be nice.
We're losing to the Tigers, bro.
Yeah. A lot of, like.
We went 10 innings scoreless against the Tigers last night.
Got no hit damn near.
Two nights ago.
One hit, wow. Yeah.
It's bad out here. We got one hit season opener.
I don't believe in kicking the man when he's down, man.
We've had seven runs in the past four games or something like that.
I mean, but the thing is, Francisco Alvarez is awesome. Like, he's the only bright spot on the team.
We got some pieces. It's just we need
more pieces. But your biggest need is some pitching, right? You need some pitching?
Yeah, we need pitching. And Senga's out.
Contact hitting. That's really it.
And we can't hit.
That's it. They're not putting together any type of...
We're going to have to get rid of Alvarez soon, too. I mean, not Alvarez, but Lindor.
And Pete's about to walk all of a sudden.
Pete's going to go, too. Everybody's out, bro. I'm telling you. We're going to have to rebuild. McNeil's going to leave. Everybody's going to leave. Bro.
So far, that's what's happening with the Yankees. They're not bust. They're not home or a bust this year. Home run or bust. You know, they're getting base hits. And they're even making contact. Even they're making some nice outs, advancing people. You know, so that's what I like seeing out of them. And Volpe's playing pretty good. The young kid, Volpe.
Yeah,
he was having a hard time getting on base last year. He's at least spreading up. He's not striking out as much so far.
Confidence.
Yeah, at least make if you make an out, make don't strike out. Put the ball in play, you know, and that's what he's doing. So far, it's only five games, real premature, but we'll see if that's the approach they keep. Just stay with that. And now they're winning without the home run, which is great. And Soto and Judge are going to just great together because now pitchers are just – which one we're going to attack, you know? Which one you're going to attack? And he can spray the ball all over the place left-handed, man. So that's awesome.
I think it's going to be interesting with the Yankees. It's going to be a good season for y'all. You know, you guys' heads are very gassed right now.
I'm an adult.
A lot of Yankees fans' heads are very gassed.
Very young. Young and dumb. Very gassed. I'm older. I know it's a long season.
It's the same shit every year with the Yankees. They fall apart.
Come on, man.
So, I mean, let's see.
Pitching's
got to
hold up. If we're like this,
how every Yankees year starts. They always start off high, and it's always cool, rah, rah, rah. This is what happened last year. Aaron Judge was on pace to fucking break the home run record.
Let's see what you're saying, home runs.
You know what I mean?
Aaron Judge hasn't gone
deep. They're hitting this year. For five games, they've hit. Cool. Yeah. All right, let's keep seeing.
I said it's young. I said the season's young. It's early. But I like their approach so far. Of course, they may be. But I'm going with my team.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Got to get LeMahieu back. Got to get Garrett Cole back.
LeMahieu forgot how to hit, bro.
Yeah.
He hasn't hit in two seasons, bro.
Yeah.
It seems like he has just – he doesn't even put the ball in play.
From a guy that literally – I don't know if you remember that home run against Houston where he literally had to hit a home run.
And I was like, he did.
Like, he willed it over the fence just barely, but he found that short porch, you know, in Houston. In Houston.
In Houston, too?
Yeah.
They have a little fence, too?
They do. It's a joke. But
fake monster, right?
No, it's the right field. The left field is the fake monster with the train above the top, but the right field is
short. They're both short.
Right field is always a short porch. But he had to hit that ball, and he did. And now to see his fall off has been crazy.
I'm a Yankee fan. I watch them. I at least watch 100 games easily watching them throughout the season because I have the Yes Network. But to see him, what he's gone through the last 2 years, there's times we just needed him to advance runners, he hasn't come up to hit or made contact.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be closing up soon. I just got breaking news. So what the question I popped up earlier, the USC question, is chalked because Bronny James is reportedly transferring out of USC.
Ooh, where is he going?
We don't know.
He's out, though?
He's hitting the portal.
He's going to OCC. Go Vikes, baby.
Let's get some predictions on where Bronny James is going. Ohio State could be a very interesting prospect.
Duke is definitely going to be in the
running. If I were him, I would go out of the spotlight. Hey. No, get out. He needs to get out of the spotlight. Get out of the big market meeting.
No, he doesn't. That's not going to happen.
Let's be realistic.
He's going somewhere big.
He is not prime time.
He's going to go somewhere big. I promise you. He's LeBron James Jr.
Ohio State would be cool.
I think I'm going to predict Ohio State. That's going to be my prediction.
That's Ohio.
That's where LeBron James was going to go if he would have went to college.
He said Akron Community College.
Toledo,
yeah.
Dayton Flyers.
Hey.
Dayton Flyers, hey. That's out of the spotlight, and he's going to compete in a tournament every year. Dayton Flyers.
There you go.
But he's going somewhere bigger than Dayton. Let's be real here.
But he's not a big talent, bro. That's the reality of it. He's LeBron.
UCLA?
Oh, my goodness. Bam Adebayo apparently just punched Dante Giovincenzo in the face.
No way.
They're saying barely reached for the ball. What a blatant hit. Oh, no.
He's on bullshit already.
It's the second quarter. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Rollerball.
Rollerball. What the fuck?
Jalen Brunson getting MVP chance.
Hanson Brothers.
Down six.
Hanson Brothers.
It's only the first quarter.
Slap shot.
Anything else?
NFL draft is heating up, so we'll be talking about that sooner than later.
And
we got any big MMA fights coming up anytime? Yeah, this weekend. There's a good MMA card coming up.
Who's the main event? Because I haven't heard of it.
Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway.
There's some old farts fighting again.
Yeah, that's a good, they fight for that BMF belt, bad motherfucker belt.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, there's a good card.
They have a BMF belt now.
Yeah, that was in UFC. Started. Yeah.
Is this the first title fight of the BMF?
No, this is like the third one. What's the name started it? Masvidal started that shit.
I don't see anything for this weekend, but next weekend actually. There's Pereira versus Hill.
Yeah, that's the fight I'm talking about.
That's April 13th. Yeah. UFC
Pereira versus Hill.
Read that whole card, Matt.
Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill, Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway, Charles Oliveira. Yeah, against Sarukyan. I don't know him. Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage,
Bo Nickel, Penn State boy.
And then it's prelims.
Yeah, he's a three-time national champ of Penn State.
Yeah, Bo Nickel. Yeah. I've heard that name.
He's a stud, bro.
Not to be confused with Bo Nix.
I know.
Where's Bo Nix get drafted? Denver Broncos.
All right.
There you go.
Sorry, Dev. Shout out to you, Dev. But Bo Nix is your future Bronco. All right, guys. That's most sports again.
Good night, everybody.
Another great 45 minutes for y'all heads, man. Good night.
Peace.
Be good. We'll be back next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Yeah.